We have extensive studies that the civilian aircraft, the airliners, were laying plumes that basically dissipated within seconds to 2 minutes. The military aircraft in the same airspace laid plumes lasting 4 to 8 hours. The weather conditions are the same. The plumes are entirely different. One is civil and one is military. Something is going on.
Using aircraft with spray mechanisms to dispense chemical compounds into the sky, weather can be suppressed or intensified over a limited area for a period of time. Chaff isn't an aluminum fuel additive. It's ejected from the underbelly of a military aircraft to confuse radar and avoid detection by enemy surveillance. Test day began with the purchase of 5 gallons of randomly selected commercial jet fuel from the local airport.
So what we've done is we've conducted a number of experiments to try and look for signs of things like aluminum being in the fuel.
What the scientists at Kettering University tested was commercial jet fuel.
Well, the conclusions we found were pretty much what we expected when we started out, are that there's no significant differences between the samples of jet fuel we tested and the kerosene.
If you look at that response, it is, you know, essentially identical.
After reporting that only military planes leave the strange trails, that a spray mechanism is used for weather modification, and that chaff is released from the underbelly of military aircraft to then test commercial jet fuel, gives the impression that the Discovery Channel's purpose was to take the viewer on a wild goose chase, thus further confusing the matter. So, as explanations, we have weather modification to cool the planet and save life, even though science says it will cause warming and sickness. Also, whether it is happening or not is left a mystery, alongside the certainty that it will definitely be used in the future. Then, military chaff that saves lives, yet makes civilian populations targets for radar. Now, the third mainstream explanation. Contrails.
Aviation experts claim with increased air travel, we're seeing more contrails. There's nothing more to it.
That's very odd. They could be very large contrails.
The simplest explanation is that they're contrails.
If the persistent trails are condensation, why are the trails from commercial planes always short and fast fading, whereas the unmarked planes alone leave trails that persist and expand? If everything is as normal, why the outrageous flight paths displayed by the unmarked planes? And why are unmarked planes leaving trails in regions that have no commercial flight paths? How do the trails switch on and off? That would mean switching off the engine in mid-flight. But the trails don't even seem to come from the engines. Why the particular patterns? How did the trail start and stop exactly at the right point? Why do so many forgetful pilots suddenly remember that they've left the oven on back home? Why the rainbow effects? Why are they affecting radar? What are the dark beams? If the contrails are normal, why are people from all walks of life around the world noticing them as something they have never seen before? And why have the authorities suddenly published documents to educate people about contrails? The aircraft contrail fact sheet was developed by scientific and regulatory experts at the Environmental Protection Agency, the Federal Aviation Administration, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, in response to public inquiries regarding aircraft contrails. So the authorities have had to come up with new information to explain the strangeness to an inquiring public. Let's see what they have to say. Here it says, contrails have been a normal effect of jet aviation since its earliest days. Which is true. Nobody's doubting that. Depending on the temperature and the amount of moisture in the air at the aircraft altitude, contrails evaporate quickly
if the humidity is low, or persist and grow, if the humidity is high. Wait a minute. Contrails have been a normal effect of jet aviation since its earliest days, that is true. But persistent and spreading contrails have not. People are noticing them as strange, because they have never seen them before. But this document words it, as if they have always existed. They have not. The authorities have the audacity to tell us that this is normal and the way it has always been. For those of you with a bad memory, just look in your own family albums at photos taken before 1995, and you will not see any persistent contrails in the sky at all. Also, if persistent and spreading contrails are caused by high humidity, why are they seen 365 days a year over arid deserts in places such as California? How are aircraft emissions linked to contrail formation? Aircraft engines emit water vapor, carbon dioxide, small amounts of nitrogen oxides, hydrocarbons, carbon monoxide, sulfur gases, and soot and metal particles. Metal particles. Why would metal particles be coming out of a jet engine? And here we have the scientific assessment of the global atmospheric effects of aviation, saying that it does not address the effects of engine emissions on local air quality near the surface or potential human health effects of engine emissions. Then in the same document it asks, are persistent contrails harmful to the public? Answering, persistent contrails pose no direct threat to public health. Yet how can they say that when they also say the assessment didn't address the potential human health effects of engine emissions? The contrail education from NASA tells us that contrails are human-induced clouds that only form at very high altitudes, usually above 8 kilometers or 26,000 feet, where the air is extremely cold, less than minus 40 degrees Celsius. So here we have them saying that contrails, that is, normal contrails, are only produced above 26,000 feet in extremely cold temperatures of less than minus 40 Celsius. However, the persistent trails are being seen below low-level clouds of less than 10,000 feet in hot summer months. Going by the official data, it is scientifically impossible for the persistent trails below 10,000 feet and in hot weather to be condensation. As we have seen, all three mainstream explanations have their contradictions and make very little sense, yet the reports focus seriously on those subjects. So, is the explanation of chemtrails handled with the same seriousness?
The Air Force says that, quote, there is no such thing as a chemtrail.
The notion of chemtrails is just ludicrous.
There's no evidence for supporting that assertion.
On the 2nd of October 2001, the Space Preservation Act of 2001, H.R. 2977, was introduced to the House of Representatives by Congressman Dennis Kucinich. In that bill, under Section 7B, chemtrails were listed as an exotic weapons system, alongside electronic, psychotronic, or information weapons, ultra-low-frequency weapons, plasma, electromagnetic, sonic, or ultrasonic weapons, laser weapons systems, strategic, theater, tactical, or extraterrestrial weapons, and chemical, biological, environmental, climate, or tectonic weapons. It is clear from this document that chemtrails are a weapon system. Section 7C explains the term exotic weapon systems to include weapons designed to damage space or natural ecosystems such as the ionosphere and upper atmosphere or climate, weather and tectonic systems with the purpose of inducing damage or destruction upon a target population or region on Earth or in space. On the 23rd of January, 2002, this bill was revised as the Space Preservation Act of 2002 H.R. 3616, and this time chemtrails had been removed from the list. In fact, there was no mention of exotic weapons at all. I wonder why. Whereas serious attention was paid to the other three contradictory explanations, the chemtrails explanation is ridiculed as being ludicrous, and their existence denied, despite chemtrails being listed by name in government documents. The mainstream reports also turned attention away from negative health problems to focus on positive life-saving weather modification.